Thank you for letting us be a part of your day. Regardless of the changes that are occurring in the world around us, one thing that will never change is the powerful promises of God's Word. I want you to be encouraged as you listen to this message today. I want you to begin to understand the power of your expectations and how they impact the outcome of your life. If you want to see the power and the presence and the hand of God move in your life, you have to be faithful in the little things before He starts to do the big things. You have got to understand that you're not going to see Him turn the world upside down until you turn and start walking in His statutes and His promises. And the wonderful thing about the Word of God is the longer you read it and the more that you understand it, the deeper it gets and the better you begin to see what a mighty God we serve. When you as His child fall in love with His truth and then start to allow that truth to determine your behavior, your faithfulness is what qualifies you to see His hand move in your life. If you would please stand for the reading of God's Word, and if you brought your Bibles, turn them to Hebrews, the 10th chapter and the 23rd verse. As we continue in this morning's sermon series, Great Expectations, considering the God that you can depend on. Last week, we looked at Acts chapter 3 and the Bible's account of Peter and John on the way to the temple at the hour of prayer, how the events that occurred that day exceeded the expectations of a lame man who suddenly was restored and able to do the impossible. Is there anybody in here today that walked in the door believing that our God can do the impossible? It's easy to believe because we've seen Him do it time and time again. But it's altogether different when you believe that He can and He will do the impossible, not for someone else, but for you. You see, the power of expectation is how you in faith begin to engage in God's ability to change your life. And what I want you to do in today's word is recognize that there is a God who has an unlimited ability to do exceedingly and abundantly above all you could ask, think, or imagine. But most of the time, His greatest limitation is our inability to believe and expect Him to keep His word. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23 this morning. If you found that verse, say amen. Read it with me. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. That last line one more time. For He who promised is faithful. Heavenly Father, today I thank You that we can stand in this sanctuary and celebrate Your faithfulness. We can declare Your loving kindness from generation to generation, from day to day. In all things great and small, You are forever and always the same. So let us today rejoice in the power and the promise of Your word, knowing that because You have made this declaration, it will not return void, but it will accomplish the purposes for which You sent it. God, I'm asking that the expectations of this house and every heart in it and those who are watching would be filled with hope today, knowing that our God is able. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. We live in a world where people crave dependability. They'll even sacrifice quality if they have certainty. Have you ever heard somebody say, it's not the best food, but it will do? And the reason that they say this is because they are willing to believe that they can put up with less as long as they know what to expect. Sometimes we try to make up for the difference by adding a little effort of our own and seeing if we can't make what is not good enough better through our work. The problem with this is that although it's fine in the world we live in, it has no place in the relationship that we have with God. Our God is dependable. Our God is faithful and true. Our God has never made a promise that He didn't keep. And when we expect less than what he said, he doesn't look at us and give us grace. He looks at us and is insulted because he has never failed. And there is no amount of our effort or our work that we can add to what he's done to make it any better. So when it comes to our expectations, we have got to understand that our God does not underperform, our God exceeds them. We live in a world where when somebody gives us a promise, we immediately, cynically, in our subconscious start to deny it. We're saturated with ads all day long that we believe lie to us. We hear satisfaction guaranteed and immediately you think, I doubt it. Someone says top rated and we want to know who paid for the rating. Award winning, awards out of how many? Number one, how long's the list? Three? We hear what's being said to us and we immediately begin to argue against it. And the nature of this in our natural world comes into the supernatural relationship we have with God. We transfer the transgressions of others onto him, and he is flawless and he is faithful and he never fails. Remember what the book of James says, he who doubts shall receive nothing from the Lord. Whenever you go to God, you have to go with full hope and full expectation that he will keep his promise. This morning, I've come to tell you that we have a God you can depend on. We have a God who is faithful from generation to generation. We have a God whose mercies are renewed every morning. We have a God who is able to do, as Ephesians said, exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask, think, or imagine. Our God has never failed to keep one promise. If he said it, he has done it. You can depend on him in an hour of need because he is the God who is a provider. You can depend on him in a day of sickness because he is a God who is a healer. You can depend on him no matter the storm that you're going through because he is the one who rides upon the wings of the storm and he is the God who calms the winds and the waves. If you're abandoned and alone by others, you can depend on God because he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Some may fail you, but God will not. Others will forget you, but God has not. Your enemies will turn on you, but he said when they come at you, he'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He'll serve you with his goodness, with his grace, with his mercy, with his loving kindness, with his favor. Why? Because he is a God that you can depend on. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We can depend on God, but can God depend on you? When he can depend on you, that's when you'll see the God who can exceed your expectations. Our verse today tells us exactly how certain we have to be. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Two statements there. Hold fast without wavering. I want you to think about soldiers that you've seen standing at attention. They're holding fast. There's not one movement that they're going to make without wavering. The Royal Guard at Buckingham Palace, how they'll stand like a statue for hours. The soldiers who are guarding the Tomb of the Unknown at Arlington, they'll stand at attention for hours, holding fast without wavering. They're not distracted by noise. They're not turning their head to see what just flew by. You can't take their attention off of their focus because they're holding fast without wavering. This verse is saying that when you have God's promise in you, you're to stand at attention and focus on it, not turning to the right nor to the left or allowing anything to get your attention off of it until it comes to pass. But how often do we do this? Focus our attention, give our full devotion to God's promise. We don't hold fast for the 40 minutes we're in church. We have a generation that suffers from dramatic attention deficit disorder. And what we hear in this verse is that when it comes to God's promise in our life, it's not up to him, it's up to us to do the work that's necessary to receive it. And it's simply, hold fast, don't waver. Oh, we can hold fast on Sunday morning, and then when pastor gets the blessing and we get dismissed, we start to waver in the parking lot. Do I really believe what I heard today? Oftentimes, we get so fickle because we put more faith in our feelings than we do the reality of God's word. And sometimes we start to waver because God didn't do it when we wanted him to. You need to remember this, God's delay is not denial. Just because you have to wait doesn't mean God's not working. And so many times we want God to work on our schedule. We want to pull up our heavenly Amazon Prime app and tell God when and where to deliver the blessing that we're asking for. You need to understand that his ways are not our ways. We want God to be a provider, but we don't want to carry the need. We want God to bring us victory, but we don't want to face a conflict. We want God to give deliverance, but we don't want to go to the furnace like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. That's not how God operates. In the Bible, he told his children, I am the Lord, I do not change. Which means that whatever God has done, God is doing, and God will do again. And when you look at something he has done, like providing and healing and delivering, you can decide that based on what he has done, he is doing it, he's still providing, he's still healing, he's still delivering, and he will do it again, he'll provide again, he'll heal again, he'll deliver again. But when you see this pattern in other things, you need to realize it's just as true. And here's the pattern that God uses in his word. He gives one of his children a promise, and then they have to endure until the promise comes to pass. And if he did that with Abraham and Moses and Joshua and Joseph, he's going to do it with you. Don't think that you get the 30-second version of what took them decades. Consider Abraham. God tells Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. He has one child at the age of 100. How many of you think that Abraham's expectations weren't met? Moses, I'll deliver you from Pharaoh. God sends the death angel. The Passover occurs. Moses and 2 million children of Israel walk out of Egypt right to the Red Sea. How many of you know his expectations weren't met? Joshua, the angel of the Lord tells him, everywhere your foot falls, no one will be able to stand before you. And Joshua walks right up to the wall of Jericho. Well, you didn't cover buildings. Joshua's expectations aren't met. David, he's anointed king as a young man. He fights a giant. He flees to the wilderness. He hides from Saul. He endures years of living like an absolute scoundrel in the wilderness. And he's told you're going to be sitting on the throne. His expectations aren't met. Joseph receives the dream. You're going to reign. You're going to be in power. And the next thing he knows, he's in a slavery auction. And then he's told by Potiphar that he's going to prison. And then from prison, he goes into the darkest parts of the dungeon. His expectations weren't met. Daniel's faithful to God, and God responds to Daniel by putting him in the lion's den. What is God doing when your expectations aren't met? You need to realize that God's delay is not denial, because he is dependable. How did Abraham and Moses and Joshua and Joseph and Daniel and all of these heroes of the faith in the past receive their promise? Whenever they got that promise, it didn't matter what they had to go through. They held fast without wavering. They remembered the one who made the promise was faithful, that he was the God they could count on, that he was the one they could trust in, and they refused to let go of what he said until he showed up. Can you do that? Can you continue to count on the Lord when others tell you you should quit? Can you continue to trust in his word when some tell you they don't believe it? Can you count on God like David said in Psalms 27, wait on the Lord and be of good courage and he will strengthen your heart? God is good and he's merciful, but God will not be taken for granted. And therefore, we have to hold fast without wavering. That's called faith. In Hebrews, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But when you read the Bible, it tells us clearly, the just shall live by faith. We hear in the New Testament, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. The Bible tells us without faith, it is impossible to please God. Jesus said in the Gospel of Mark, have faith in God. Say that with me. Have faith in God. And then the sentence ends, which means you can't add anything to it. Jesus didn't say, have faith in God and Facebook. Have faith in God and your favorite news. Have faith in God and your political party. Have faith in God and your HMO, PPO, 401k. Brother, it takes real faith to have faith in those. He just said, have faith in God. And the reason that we have to make this point today is because in the world of modern convenience that we have, we're willing to have some faith in God, but we'll put the rest in something else. We read what God said and we can quote what others said more faithfully than we can remember his. Yet when you have faith in God. Why? Because there is nothing you're facing today that the dependable God that we serve doesn't have the ability to solve. The question is, do you have enough faith to believe that he will do it? The Bible is filled with imperfect people, but in spite of their imperfections, they had faith in God. I believe that a lot of Christians would have a much better life if they would quit worrying about being perfect and remember to be faithful. Abraham wasn't perfect, but Romans 4:3 says he believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now that sounds simple, but put yourself in Abraham's shoes. He believed God and God asked him to do some hard things. The first thing that God speaks to Abraham about is getting away from his father and away from his family and away from his nation. Abraham grew up in a polytheistic world where they worshiped many gods, and God wanted one who would follow him and him alone. Now, it's easy to abandon a mud hut. Abraham, leave your father's house. Yes, Lord, thy will be done. But Abraham didn't grow up in poverty. When you understand the culture that Abraham was a part of and how his family was positioned in it, Abraham was surrounded by wealth. He had comfort. He had protection. And God says, I want you to leave everything that you know and you're comfortable with, and I want you to follow me. Now, how do we know that Abraham believed God? He did it. You don't tell people you believe. You show people you believe. Then the Bible says that he dwelt in tents. He lived in a Madison Avenue brownstone mansion. And God says, leave. I'm going to show you a city whose builder and maker is God. And he lived in a tent. And the fact that Sarah stayed with him is a miracle. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10, it says that Abraham believed for a city whose foundations and whose builder was God. Even when he didn't see it, he believed it. And when God asked him for his son and giving the life of Isaac was unreasonable, the Bible says by faith he obeyed. In Hebrews 11 and 19, it says that Abraham was accounting that God was able to raise him from the dead. Now that word accounting means that Abraham had done the math and he added it up and he said, if God has been faithful through all of these things, God is able to do this thing. even when it seemed absolutely unreasonable, Abraham still reasoned that God was dependable because God kept his word. Do you have that kind of faith that even when it seems unreasonable, you can come to the conclusion that God is still dependable? God may not ask you for the extreme things that he asked Abraham for. He may not ask you to abandon everything. He may not ask you to give what he asked Abraham to give. But when God asks you to give, will you? We ask God to provide. We memorize the scriptures about provision. We don't memorize the ones about fasting, but we memorize the ones about increase. We ask God to provide. But God asks us to give. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. We know that part, but we forgot the part that said, give and it shall be given unto you. We're depending on him, but can he count on us? We want God to speak to us. We ask him to provide through his word. And the Bible tells us that his word is alive and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And so many times people are saying, I'm waiting for God to say something. And God says, I printed it for you. Just pick it up and read it. We ask God to move, but will we pray without ceasing? You want God to move in your life? Start praying. You want his presence to be upon you? Start praying. You want his atmosphere and the power of God to be in every day? Start praying. People say, well, I tried that and it didn't work. Try it again. If you swipe your debit card this afternoon and they say it's denied, are you going to give up? How quickly we give up on God. And yet God promised that if he said it, he'll do it. Galatians 6 says, do not grow weary while doing good. Don't give up on God. He'll never give up on you. Consider Abraham. Back to Hebrews chapter 11, where he looked for a city whose builder was God. This is something that should encourage you and challenge you at the same time. Abraham got his promise of God showing him a city in the book of Genesis. You say, now we read it in Hebrews, but Abraham died in Genesis. So he had to get it over here. And yet he lived the rest of his natural lives in desert tents, constantly telling all who asked, I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Abraham, why did you leave your father's house? I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Abraham, why did you give up your earthly inheritance? I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Abraham, why didn't you stay in dad's business? I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Abraham lived and he died and he never saw the city. Abraham goes to eternity where he is now. And yet he still hasn't seen the city. This promise has now been extended for thousands of years. And yet in Revelation 21, we read John the Revelator saying, I, John, saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. And he who sat on the throne said to me, it is done. What did Jesus say to John? It is done. What's he going to say to Abraham who received this promise all the way back in Genesis? It is done. Done. Abraham, I might not have done it in your lifetime. I might have taken 4,000 years to do it, but I promised you I would do it. And when I do it, it will forever and always be done. If God has made you a promise, hold fast to that promise because he will perform it. He may not do it when you want him to do it. It may not come the way you thought it would come, but the grass will wither and the flower will fade, but the word of the Lord will endure forever. Whatever God has promised you, Whatever God has promised you, whatever God has promised you, He will do it. If He said, I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not, you need to recognize that if you're breathing, it's not over. He'll still keep that promise. If you've been waiting for an answer, you need to recognize that if God made the promise, He'll keep the promise. It's not over. If you've given God everything and you're waiting on a breakthrough, ask God one more time, because when you knock, it shall be open to you. When you seek, you shall find. When you ask, you shall receive. Child of God, don't give up. Don't give in. Endure today, because it's not over. God will not fail. Hold fast without wavering is translated in two words. Don't quit. Look to your neighbor and just say, don't quit. Now say it like you actually want them to believe you. Do not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap a harvest. In due season, we shall reap a harvest. The problem that we have is we want harvest every Friday. Throughout the Word of God, especially in the New Testament, Jesus Christ continues to encourage through the Holy Spirit those who are following Him, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. Paul told Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier. What is he saying? Don't quit. He tells the church in Ephesians 6, having done all to stand, stand therefore in the day of evil. What's the message? Don't quit. Philippians, he said, forgetting those things which are behind me, I press on. What's he telling you? Don't quit. In Revelation, Jesus said, be faithful unto death and I'll give you the crown of life. What's the word? Don't quit. There's a reward for enduring. When you endure, you get to see what God intended. When you endure, you get to see what God intended. When you give up, you forfeit what He would have given. I can prove this in the scriptures. In James chapter 5, verse 11, it says, indeed, we count them blessed who endure. And then it goes on to say, you've heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord God. Had Job not endured, he would have never seen what God intended. Had Job not endured, he would have never known twice as much good in his later years as he ever knew in his former years. Had Job listened to the advice of his wife and his friends, he would have given up before he got the blessing. Have you ever thought about how many blessings you would have received if you hadn't have given up? How many times did you start praying and then stop praying before God could answer? How many times did you begin the battle and then forfeit the fight before the breakthrough came? God may have intended for you to be blessed with a promotion, but you quit the job before you got the chance. You say, well, you don't know how mean they were. They treated me nasty. You don't think other people have had a hostile work environment? Look at Daniel. He went to HR and they threw him in the lion's den. God intended to pour out His power and show His might, but you stopped short of the breakthrough. The power of Pentecost came in the upper room when they were all together in one accord praying, but you know what? They had been praying for 50 days. They went from the resurrection all the way to Pentecost. 50 days they'd been praying. We can't sometimes pray for 5 minutes and then we ask God, why aren't you moving? God has everything lined up to show you His power and His might, to prove to you what Romans says, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. But rather than endure, we say we've had enough. I tried it and it didn't work. Rather than press on, we pass out. Rather than stay faithful, we faint. God wants you to hear today, don't quit. Don't stop now. You've been through too much to give in. You're this close to the finish line. Just take one more step of faith, and I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not. Whatever you're asking God to do, don't stop asking today. Keep knocking, keep seeking, keep knowing that if you ask, He is faithful to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask, think, or imagine. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. In every situation, there will come a moment when quit looks good. Don't do it. Because those who endure to the end, the same shall be saved. One of the things that we have to do in order to stand fast without wavering is that we have to be dependent upon God rather than just ask for Him to be available. Most people believe in God, but we only believe in God for His availability, meaning that we want Him to be there when we ask. Kind of like a concierge. You go to a nice hotel, you pick up the phone, and they say, "Yes, Mr. Hagee, how may I help you?" We want God to do the same thing. We say something in prayer, and we want God to say, "Yes, Matthew, what would you like?" That's availability. And that's not how God works. God doesn't want for you to require His availability. God wants you to be dependent upon Him. Now, what's the difference between dependability and availability? I had a doctor talk to me one time about the priority of medical problems. And it didn't take long for me to understand it, so I believe I could share it with all of you. And though some of you may not have too much background in medicine, it shouldn't be too hard to get. He said, here's the priority of medical emergencies. He said, there are breathing problems and everything else. Think about it. I mean, if your foot hurts, that's a problem. But if you can't breathe, you're not real worried about your foot. He said there's breathing problems and then there's everything else. Because you can live about 3 minutes without breath and then it's over. So when you're dependent upon something, you can't live without it. I depend upon my heart and my lungs. If they stop working, I stop living. I love having my hands available, but if I lose the availability of my hands and keep the opportunity to have my heart and lungs, I can continue to live. Whenever you begin to become dependent upon God, you're going to realize something very quickly. You can't live without Him. You can't do without Him. There's not a day that goes by when you won't need Him. In everything great and small, whether you like it or not, you're dependent upon Him. Whether you know it or not, you're dependent upon Him. Physically, the Bible says, in Him we live and we move and we have our being. That means when you get up and you breathe air and you blink your eyes and your ears work and you get to talk, God gave you the ability to do that. You're depending upon Him. Financially, you're dependent upon Him. Because it says He is the Lord who gives you the power to get wealth. The world that we live in, we're dependent upon Him because the Bible says that His word is the framework of the world as it is established. Everything in nature, God holds in the palm of His hand, and without Him doing something on our behalf on a daily basis, we couldn't exist. But we want to behave like independent free agents. We want to behave like we get to negotiate. Well, God, if you do this, I'll do that. No. When you're dependent, you don't negotiate. And the truth is, you can't truly be thankful to God and you can't give Him the kind of praise He's worthy of until you really recognize how dependent you are upon Him. The fact that you can't do anything without Him and He's still good to you. The fact that you betray Him and He still loves you. The fact that He's cleansed you with His loving kindness of your transgressions and you still bend towards sin. Only when you understand how faithful He is do you truly begin to offer him the praise that he's worthy of. That's why David said, my help comes from the Lord. That's why we read in the Psalms, if it hadn't been for the Lord who was on my side. God is a faithful God, and he's dependable each and every day, which is why he is great and greatly to be praised. I say this in closing, final part of today's verse. He who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. It would be one thing if somebody else promised and we were depending on God's faithfulness. But when the one who is faithful made the promise, then you can count on it. Our God is faithful from generation to generation. Our God is faithful in the little things. He's faithful in the sunrise. He's so faithful with the sunrise, you'll set your clock by it. He's faithful in the big things. Your transgressions and your sins, he's faithful to blot them out and put them under the blood, to remember them never against you. He's faithful with your salvation. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed, and I believe that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him, even to the day of Christ Jesus. Not only is he faithful to get you saved, but he's faithful to keep you saved. I want you to know today, you have a God you can depend on. So hold fast, without wavering, to his promise, because he is faithful. Would you stand in the presence of the Lord? I want to end this service by offering God a sacrifice of praise. When you realize how dependent you are on him and how faithful he is to you, it's easy to give him thanks and praise. Peter told the New Testament church that we were kings and we were priests unto God. And one of the things that priests do is sacrifice. And when I was beginning to prepare for this message, I read that scripture and I felt the Lord tell me, if my people will sacrifice themselves in praise and in prayer, I'll move in a mighty way. So what I want us to do is to just lift our hands and open our mouths and begin to give God the praise and thanksgiving that he's worthy of. Thank him for his faithfulness. Thank him for his goodness. Thank him for his loving kindness. Thank him that he has never failed you. Thank him that even in moments when you didn't deserve it, his mercy spared you. His grace was greater and sufficient than anything you could imagine. Thank him for the blessings that he's poured out upon your family, for your health, for your strength, for your home. All of those things come from the goodness of God. Thank him today that he has sustained you. It hasn't always been easy, but he's always been there. In every difficult time, he was ever present. Every time you needed an answer, he provided. Every time you needed someone to make a way, he moved a mountain. Every time you were searching, he was always waiting for you to turn and look at him. God, we thank you today for your faithfulness. God, we thank you today for your provision. God, we thank you today for your healing power that's in this place. We thank you today that if we came in here expecting a move of God, we can receive it. We thank you that heaven hears our prayers when we pray. And today I ask that you would move mountains of impossibility. Today I ask that you would restore broken hearts and shattered lives. Today I ask that tormented minds would have the peace that surpasses all understanding. Today I ask that families that have been under demonic attack would come out victorious as those powers and principalities are defeated in the mighty name of Jesus. Today I ask for business leaders to receive fresh ideas and be anointed with the opportunity to increase priests because you, Heavenly Father, have promised them that you would make them the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Today I ask, Heavenly Father, for individuals in search of a miracle to receive that miracle in the mighty name of Jesus, because it is that name that is above every name, and at His name every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that He is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So here in this sanctuary today, we profess Jesus, we declare Jesus, we worship Jesus, we magnify Jesus, we exalt Jesus, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords and worthy to be praised. Father, we thank you, for this is the day that you have made. We thank you because you are mighty. We thank you because you are faithful. We thank you because you are awesome. We thank you because you can do the impossible. We thank you because you and you alone are worthy to be praised. Give the Lord a hand clap in this house today. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have been in thy hand have provided.
Lift your hand for the blessing. And now may the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you, and may the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord's glory direct your paths and paths of righteousness. May you reach out and touch the Lord in a faithful relationship that leads to a new spiritual depth to accomplish things that you consider impossible for your life. You and God can make impossible things happen because we serve a miracle-working God. Receive this blessing in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, praise the Lord. God bless you all.
As Paul wrote to the New Testament church, whenever we consider the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, we should comfort one another with these words. I also pray that you have the opportunity to share this message with your friends. Invite them to be a part of this podcast and give them the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, there's not a lot of places on the earth where you get the opportunity to receive the truth as it is declared in Scripture. And I encourage you to invite as many as you know to be a part of this conversation. God bless you, and thank you for being with us today. We also would love for you not only to subscribe to this podcast, but tune in every Thursday as Kendall and I have the opportunity to share a conversation about things that make a difference in your everyday life. God bless you guys. If you need anything from Cornerstone Church or Hagee Ministries, you can find us online or social media at sacornerstone.org and jhm.org. God bless you. We'll see you soon.